we'll get this out of the way before we start, is that this is all Russ just...
No,
just,
fuck him.
He's trying to, you know, resist...
Poke the beehive.
No, no, he's just, he's trying to sort of like, you know, make a point that he really hates Space Wolves just so that he can kind of convince himself so that he doesn't accidentally slip into them. Because he's got the name, you know, he... He said Aru one time on podcast. It's clipped in our Discord if you don't believe me.
Not true.
There's a lot of evidence that points towards him actually being secretly a Space Wolf player. No, I wouldn't be surprised if I raided his house to find a Space Wolves army secreted away somewhere. So
there you go, see.
This is what this is really about.
And I have to say, if you are a Space Wolf player, I'm sorry that you play Space Wolves. And
you're wrong. Take it to the fucking courtroom, Russ. Come on.
Welcome to the In the Tank podcast. Get ready for an hour of hot 40k goodness coming in your ears. You're in the tank now, baby.
We're live.
We are indeed live. Welcome, everybody, to In the Tank. How you doing, my fabulous co-host, Ed?
I am grand. How are you, my equally fabulous and sexy, long-haired, voracious co-host, Russ?
Oh, nice. Thank you. I have to feel a bit like I'm getting the sense of the vapors. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I'm fighting an endless string of cursed plagues from Papa Nurgle that he's bequeathed me.
You've been truly blessed. Oh, it's because I'm thrice blessed.
It's because it's my year of chaos, right? So he's just like, there you go. Like, feel what it's like to be
fecundity.
Like, exactly. But yeah, no, I'm doing all right, mate. I'm doing okay.
Good.
Yeah, all good. Life with you, all good?
It is good. It's been a bit of a slog the last sort of month, having, you know, had to shit out 1,500 points of Gene Stealers in basically what is 3 weeks. Has not been an easy task. Meanwhile, Russ has been painting a single ballista dreadnought very, very slowly. And he's like, look, Ed, I've done the metal. And I'm like, look, Russ, I've done 1,500 more Gene Stealers.
Well, the bit that really made me laugh was you on the Discord raving about how many claws you've had to do. How many claws?
Outrageous.
How many claws, Ed? Tell me how many claws you've had to do.
Just to clarify, this is how many passes I've had to do over Gene Stealer claws since painting this army. And this is just for the Gene Stealers, by the way. It's not including all the Acolytes, because a lot of them have claws as well, and I haven't even counted them.
Sorry,
just the Gene Stealers, I have had to do 660 passes over fucking Gene Stealer claws. I've lost it. I've let my wits end. Honestly,
this is all self-inflicted. Like, you chose this army.
Because,
chose this army.
So if you guys don't know this yet, and it's really sad news, and I'm devastated about it, but basically, I was planning to go to the Oxford Onslaught GT with my boy Russ and a few other people, and I was really looking forward to it. It's basically what I built this fucking army for, right? I was going in for it. And then turns out that some absolute selfish bastard in my family has decided to book their 40th birthday party that same weekend. What a knobhead. So now I've had to cancel the damn event, which is shit. But equally good, I suppose, is that I now have a spot on one of the ITT, which is coming up, this Coventry ITT, the International Teams Tournament, for those
nice.
Who don't know the abbreviation. That's coming up this weekend, which would have been past weekend for you guys, now that you're listening. So I already would have done it. But basically, I've now had to expedite my entire army painting by 3 weeks because I would have had much longer to do it. So I've just been drilling Gene Stealers. Like, my poor wife has been looking after the boy all bloody last couple of weeks, you know, as much as she can to give me space to just get this army done in the evenings and stuff. And yeah, it's been chaotic. So we're getting through it now. I've only got 11 models left to paint in basically 24 hours. And I think that's doable. So...
Well, look, I'm gutted that you're not going. From a purely selfish place, I'm gutted because we met at Oxford Onslaught, didn't we? We actually formed a bromance. Yeah, exactly. Well, I am the beast, and you're clearly the beauty in this.
Yeah, I definitely am. You can see me in a yellow dress.
But obviously, buddy, it's cool. It's what happens. It's all good. It's all
life
good.
Gets and at in
least,
the way.
And at least it gave you the spur motivation to get your bloody army painted. So actually, it could have been worse.
I think what I'm probably going to do is just get like over, because when I get back from this event, it's like full barn mode because I haven't had time to do much with the barn in the last 3 weeks because of this army being just taking up all my time. So once I do get back, we're gonna kick the barn off and get it just finished and done and operating and streaming and stuff. So that's gonna be really exciting. Can't wait for that. That's the Battle Barn. For those of you who haven't heard of it yet, somehow it's in the description below. That's going to be our new 40k Ooh. Streaming channel where we're going to be playing actual games of 40k live, and doing some pre-recorded bat reps and stuff like that. So yeah, that's me pretty much. It's just been a good old slog, but I'll tell you what, the nice thing about it is that I've got so much fucking pent up aggression from painting for so many weeks that I am just going to destroy my opponents this weekend. I'm just going to go full send aberrants up your fucking arsehole.
See, you get angry. I just go mad when I sing songs about heretic trays and back on the creamy grind and stuff, right?
I sent you a great one the other day.
You did indeed. Yeah. You did indeed. That was great. You won the internet with that song, mate. I tell you, it's all good.
On your tank.
So I better talk about what I've been working on, selfish bastard. So very quickly.
I already told everyone.
No, fine. Fuck you. I've been working on other things.
Have you?
You don't know me.
You've been air frying plague marines, from what I understand.
So, yes, I've been working on my Ballistus Sirzeek, the Unwavering. Also trying to paint, my Gladiator tank and, of course, my 10 Stern Guard.
Yeah.
I've also shout out to one of my students that I won't dox them and stuff like that, but you know who you are. Mm. They've managed to source me a fucking Doom Rider.
I know.
So I'm well getting it. And I sat there and created a 1500 point second ed army list,
which is actually only 10 models.
Yeah, so like only 10 models because second ed's crazy. I'll tell you what it is very quickly. Chaos Lord on bike, aka Doom Rider, Sorcerer. And then I've got 7 Chaos Space Marines with a couple of water cannons in there, 3 bikers, 6 Khorne Berserkers, 5 veteran Chaos Space Marines, a Dreadnought, and 4 Bloodletters. And that is it. That is the entire army.
That's such a random amount.
Do you know what work 4 Bloodletters can do in second ed?
Oh, I bet.
My God. Like,
Russ has been
face.
Sending me loads of like pictures of these metal minis, and I was like, what's wrong with his helmet? And Russ was like, that's his face.
I love it. It's great fun. And I'm getting such nostalgia from making them and stuff like that and giving them a go. And I cannot wait to paint them when I've finished all of my Dark Angel stuff.
I look forward to seeing some in the Discord. Yeah.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Which reminds me, thank you for reminding
You're
me.
Welcome.
Everyone, get on the Discord, please. Please get on the Discord. Like, comment, subscribe. Follow me at Count Ruscular Minis on Instagram. What is your label?
I am EddieS40K.
There you go,
Eddie's 40k.
There you go, see. And obviously, please check out our recent episode with Peachy, which was absolutely genius. Yeah. Like, that was so much fun.
He's a legend.
Thank you, Peachy, for coming on. And he'll potentially be on again in the future at some point, bless him. But we had an absolute blast with that episode. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you to our Patreons as well.
Of course.
You know, you guys help us to continue doing this every week. So to keep coming in your ears.
It's wild. Thank you so much for your support. Like, honestly, it's genuine. Mad for us. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah. I was going to do an Elon Musk from the heart then, but I...
No, don't do that. Please, no. Please don't do that. But yeah, so that kind of rounds out all of our sort of catch-up. One more thing quickly. Q&A questions, please.
Yes.
We're going to do a Q&A question episode, which will just be an entirely episode where we answer questions and answers. It can be anything to do with topics that you want us to cover. It can be personal questions about us or our hobbying or whatever, just like asking away. Please leave your comments below. Q&A episode. We'll have our first ever In the Tank Q&A episode on
the horizon. Just leave us a comment. Ask what you like.
Yeah, go for it. No topic is taboo, as they say.
Exactly.
So, first topic that we haven't had chance to really unpack, because we had the Peachy episode, obviously, last week. The Emperor's Children range. How do we feel about the Emperor's Children range?
I like it, on the whole. And I like it. On the whole.
Oh, snap.
Snappy whammy.
He made a pervy joke.
I did. No, I think it's really cool. Honestly, I think they have nailed a lot of the aesthetics. Yeah. I do think there are some more questionable sculpts out there. I know there's been a lot of sort of memeing on the cone heads and all of that sort of stuff. and the tank top guys, who I think actually are still the Coneheads. But they're really cool. I do like them. I think Lucius's model is sick. I do really like old Fulgrim's model as well.
Yeah.
So I think the Noise Marines are great. I just think they're really, really fun.
So I'm just going to go over all of these because I didn't know what they were called.
They've all got like wanky names.
Yeah, very weird names. From my perspective, I'm very glad that I did what my heart told me to do and go Word Bearers over Emperor's Children, because I was a bit worried that I was going to get buyer's remorse and go like, actually, I should have gone Emperor's Children, right? Like, the Lucius model, I find gloriously disturbing. Like, I think he's weird, dude. He's proper weird looking.
I love
him. I get that he's cool. The tongue's cool. The tongue's a bit strange. The layer blade's a bit strange. He's got a proper corset action going on. Very, very interesting. Not really my thing, but cool. Love the Noise Marines. Mm. I think the Noise Marines are the actual best bit of the entire range refresh.
They're very cool.
Like, chunky. Sorry, excuse me. Big old guns looking cool. I hope that they will be the thing that you'll be able to have with Codex Diversity, where you'll be able to take those in undivided armies, right? Because
they usually are, right? So,
well, yeah, but like obviously it's the Plague Marines, the Rubric Marines, the Corn Berserkers, and the Noise Marines, but obviously they look like kind of like special weapon squads more so than anything else now, where there's only six of them and they're really chunky and big.
Could end up being one of the other squads that end up crossing over. We'll
Which would
out.
Suck because they're not nowhere near as interesting, right? Because then you have the Tormentors / Infractors, which are the shooty / combat, what would be legionaries, I suppose, right? I mean, they're cool.
They might be the ones that cross over, because if you look at Rubrics and Plague Marines, those are both troops, right? They're both battle lines.
But this is what I'm saying, but I don't want that. I want the big old fat fucking noise
I mean, traditionally
marines.
It's been Noise Marines, but we'll just have to wait and see, I suppose. Who knows?
Also, you would have no USP then, because essentially then your Tormentors and Infractors are probably just slightly faster Legionnaires, whether your actual Noise Marines or your heavy-duty anti-infantry fucking shooty lads, which are really cool. The one models that I am not into at all that I think are really weird and kind of freak me out are the old Flawless Blades.
They're the Coneheads, right?
Oh, weird fucking models, man.
It's a bit like Earthworm Jim.
What the fuck? Earthworm Jim with then like the thing on the top of it as well, like bizarre.
I imagine
models.
That what's going to be happening in the, is that most people, they'll either have some alternate heads in the pack or other people will be banging normal marine helmets.
I don't like
them out.
I don't like their poses, mate. I think their poses look well weird for me. Like, I like the concept that they are potentially what would be the possessed / 8-bound / elite unit, but they're so contrived and so arrogant that they don't allow actually to be possessed themselves, and they're like, fuck you, demons, right? And I guess the angle that they're going with is like Slaanesh is quite svelte and quite feminine and like kind of egg kind of shape and kind of weird, I guess. Like, I don't know, I'm kind of drawing at straws here, but like, whatever. I really like the Lord Exultant or Exultant or whatever it's called.
That is a fucking... Go on, keep going. Have another go.
Lord Exultant.
Exultant?
Exultant. That's the one. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm not even looking at it.
I think they look great. I think they look really cool. They look really cool. The spear Exultant. Looks really cool. Exultant.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool.
He's cool. He's quite awesome. And then you've got the Lord Cacophonist. How can I say that? Okay, like, that's weird. I guess because it's musical terminology. The Cacophonist reminds me of, like, the old school, crazy, fucked up Noise Marine sculpts, and actually I quite like it.
Mm.
A part of me should be like, no, I don't like it, but actually
there's
I think
cool
it looks cool.
There's some cool models here for, like, CSM armies to just convert into, like, lords and random shit as well. Like, you could just... Because obviously, you know, you can make them one god or, you know...
Yeah.
Oh, so that'd be cool. I like that. I'm into that.
I mean, I would paint up the Noise Marines as Word Bearers, Noise Marines, right? I'd give them all that same sort of color scheme effect. But if they are undivided, then I will totally do it. Also, rumors for the fire that it is going to be Demon Kin
in the
rules. I fucking said it again.
Yep.
Second.
You and half the internet.
Fuck off, Ed. I said it ages ago. I also said that Emperor's Children were coming at the beginning of the edition. You're like, I don't think they are. I don't think they're going to be released this edition. Fuck you. How dare you? But yes, on the whole, what would you give them out of 10, the Emperor's Children ring?
I'm going to go for a firm, throbbing 8 out of 10. What about you? You think that's too high? You're going for a 7, aren't you?
I'm going to give them a 6.
Ooh, that is low.
Yeah, I mean, just not my thing. Just not my thing.
I do think they are quite divisive as a model range.
I'm glad they got them. I think
there was a lot of
them.
People who were really excited for them and then sort of had a big flop on when they came out. But then equally, a lot of people were the opposite. So
look. They're not for me, but I love them. I think they're cool. I think the setting is better for their existence. And I think actually whoever sculpted them have done a good job. They've done a great job of sculpting them. Just not my personal fancy, if that makes sense. Yeah. I like chunky boys, not svelte boys. I'm a bear lover. But there you go, see. There you go. So Emperor's Children Reign, what do you guys think of it? Do you like them? Do you think they look weird? The eggheads are a bit strange, lol. Yeah. But hey, it's all cool. It's all cool. Are you going to get an Emperor's Children army, Ed?
I've got enough to deal with at the minute. Maybe one day. We've got quite a few projects in the tank at the minute.
The electric guitar guns. Like, very cool. Yeah,
but no, I'm not for now.
All right. That's cool. So, first proper meaty topic of today. Terrain. Its importance in the game and all of the different variants that terrain is used for. Because terrain's been an interesting progression in terms of like how I've sort of loved the hobby over the years. Because I don't know about you, but when I was younger, even in like proper GW stores and stuff, and we're talking like second and third ed or whatever, terrain was nowhere near as important as it is in the modern era at all. Like you don't get me wrong, you'd get some woods and stuff and some cool bunkers or whatever, but like it would never be like it is today, whether if you had a situation like you have today, you'd get like this sort of shooting gallery effect where no one would ever make it into close combat ever, right? So how important is terrain, do you reckon, in the modern era?
I think it's quite loaded. Yeah, I think it is mega important. I think because, as you said, the rules are so... They really dictate the game with the way that terrain works currently. I think it has a huge impact. Like, terrain layout has an enormous impact on how the game can play. And I think that is always a trick, is actually just balancing the terrain around melee armies, shooting armies. Because obviously...
Yeah,
it's a difficult one to get right. I think we here in the UK have mainly UKTC. I know that obviously Glasshammer has their own sort of variant of stuff, and there are a few other things that people play, but we are mainly using that UKTC style. And it's always a little tweak, you know. It's interesting because recently they turned a ruin from like I think it was like this to like to more like that, sort of like a diagonal. They put it on a diagonal, basically, for those of you listening. And that's massively changed the way that you can hold that objective and how well like shooting armies can attack that. And it really makes a huge shift, because obviously melee armies need to be able to stage. So if you've got too big a gap between like the terrain and the midboard, you can't effectively get from where you need to be to where you need to go. Like, and that's really tricky. And equally, if you have too wider firing lines, then shooting armies will just dominate, so you have to kind of balance it around that. It's really hard.
I've heard some kind of quite sly, I wouldn't say sly, but quite snidey kind of comments in regards to the fact that, like, the reason why you have terrain in this edition of the game is that the game is not balanced. And I would go, actually, no. I think I actually really like the concept of terrain as it stands in the modern era, where it feels more like laser questy. And it feels more like in third ed there was a supplement created called City Fight. And the concept of City Fight was basically what we now as modern 40K. The rules were a lot more convoluted in terms of like holding buildings and stuff. And like there was loads of like weird extra rules and stuff that were very narrative based about, or City Fight it was called, I can't remember, based around fighting in industrial complexes and stuff, right? But that whole kind of almost laser questiness of like hiding behind cover, shooting stuff out of cover, it feels more like what a battle in the 41st millennium would probably be like, which is like your cities are fucked. Like, it's all rubble and, like, you're just, it's very Stalingrad-esque where it's just like, you're taking your pot shots and you know, and I really like that. Obviously, from a hobbying perspective, it puts a lot of onus on you and a lot of effort to, like, have terrain in the first place, right? Which is one extra expense on top of everything else that you have to do.
It's bloody expensive.
But I think it creates the most balanced way that we have ever enjoyed this hobby before ever, right? Like, terrain is so important. Like, Old World and Sigmar and stuff, it's like a fucking blank table. You can
It's mad.
It's nuts. It's just like, go for it. Like, just go for it.
You've just got,
right?
like, a rock.
Yeah,
and
then,
like, some dragon bones. And that's it. And then a wood.
Yeah. And it makes sense, right? Because it's like pitched battles in fantasy. Like, you know, but we're talking about industrial, like, 41st. Yeah.
There's a lot
millennium.
More ranged combat in the 41st millennium. Also, equally, people hit each other with hammers and swords, which is really cool. We were talking about this as being like grim dirt, but like, why the fuck would you ever use melee weapons in the 41st millennium? But it is awesome. I think. It's an interesting one because obviously, like, back in the day when we were younger, like, just having, like, first of all, poor hammer, you know, just banging a load of fucking Coke cans and, like, egg boxes and shit on the table and using that. Like, we've all been there. We've all been there. But, like, when you go to Warhammer World now, they have such a random hodgepodge of ruins and tanks and, like, you know, like little actual sort of, you know, tankers and shit like that on the table. And little castles and all this sort of stuff. And it just doesn't, it doesn't really work in the same way that L-shaped ruins works. But you can make it work. But I think that we've kind of, it's almost a bit sad in a way because we've kind of lost that, like, that innocence. That sort of, like, wholesome, it's not the innocence so much, it's just that wholesome sort of almost realistic look to a battlefield where you look at it and you think, oh, this is really cool. They've got, like, an industrial complex over there and they've got a load of, like, you know, sort of broken fuel tanks over there. And you don't have that as much these days because balance and sort of balancing the game equally around the terrain has become more prevalent. And I think you've kind of lost that aesthetic.
Yeah, I get it.
But ruins are cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, you can still make them look great. Like, look at what Michael Kaur does for the Oxford Onslaught.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he sexied his terrain up loads. Every table is unique and matched to a mat and it looks gorgeous. But so you can do it, but it's just not, it's not as easy. And I do think, if I'm honest, what I would love to see Games Workshop do, and this is something that I really just wish they'd fucking do it. You remember when they did the Kill Team Orc terrain, right? It was still L-shapey kind of ruins and stuff like that. They need to start doing more of that kind of shit where they'd basically take the premise of L-shaped ruins and walls and various
things. Well, apply it to different factions.
But yeah, exactly. I want some, like, Eldar terrain. I want, like, Tyranid terrain. I want, you know, terrain that's like ruined and all been taken over by the Garden of Nurgle. Like, you know, just kind of use your imagination.
Do a universal L shape format, but with crazy designs.
Yeah, and, just make more of these cool ruins that they've got, but put actual detail on them from different factions and stuff. Because all we've got at the minute is basically kind of Mars pattern, sort of, you know, that industrial style terrain, or we've just got, like, Gothic ruins. And that's really, and then the orc stuff, and that's really mostly it. Like,
what I will say about that, buddy, though, is, like, I've heard reports and rumors that, like, out of all the things sold at GW, like, terrain is one of the worst selling things.
Interesting.
So it doesn't make that much return because, in terms of, and that's why they're constantly dropped all the time and then brought back because it's like they kind of do it in cycles.
It's a shame because it's expensive stuff. It takes a long time to paint, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of detail on their terrain. With like the UKTC terrain, you could just airbrush it and you're like a couple of colors and you're done, you know, if you have bare minimum. So
that's why you've got to really appreciate your hobby heroes that put time into making terrain look cool. Yeah. Like you mentioned, Michael, like, we love you, Michael, right? And it's like, you know, because you're taking the personal hit of going, I'm sacrificing painting minis that I really need to paint and get done for terrain of all fucking things, right? And it's like, you know, it lacks a bit of character unless you really put your effort in. But it's the one fundamental thing that really brings a game to look like a proper game of toy soldiers, weirdly. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a specialist in terms of terrain. I'd be probably awful at painting terrain, really, because I'm just a perfectionist with my painting anyway.
Yeah,
so, like, it'd be awful. But, like, if you're of that right headspace to do it, then hold on to those people in your community because they are desperately need it.
Yeah, they are. Everyone likes having nice terrain to play on. And I think this is the other important part of this to touch on is like the different formats. Because obviously, as I said, we mainly use the UKTC, which is like just sort of L-shaped ruins for the most part. But there's other things like the Games Workshop terrain, and they have like these sort of clear Perspex bases and they put bits on there. Yeah. And then you've also got WTC, which is the World Team Championships. They have their own format of terrain. And they obviously, because they're a team event, they have like light, medium and heavy boards. And all of those have you not heard about this?
No.
Oh, okay. So all of those boards are different levels of terrain. So this weekend, we are using that. We're using UKTC terrain, but we're doing the same format in terms of light, medium, heavy boards. So there'll be slightly more terrain on one board and there'll be slightly less on another.
Is that to benefit slash hamper certain factional bias?
Yeah, so the way it kind of works, I won't get too deep into it, but basically during the pairing process, when you're trying to get good matchups for your team, you're also using like the tables as like part of that pairing process. So you're kind of trying to put your shooting armies onto light tables where they've got bigger angles, and the opponent is trying to put their like melee armies onto heavier tables where they can stage better. So it's all kind of a little mini game, which is quite cool. But the WTC is famous for that, and they theirs is a lot heavier than UKTC. They have lot more staging grounds and a lot tighter angles of fire. So it all makes a big difference. Like if you play a game on, because like shout out now as well, my mate Plato, who I'll be playing with this weekend, he's the captain of the
RT. Great name. That's great name.
He's an absolute legend. Plays for Team Romania on the WTC, or you know, he has done, and hopefully will be selected this year as well, which will be awesome. So he has made, has 3D printed me an entire WTC set of terrain for the Battle Barn. Like an absolute fucking legend. And it's collapsible. So you can literally just take the L's and collapse them down, flat packed. And it looks beautiful. So he spent the last like couple of weeks printing that for me, and he's bringing it over this weekend. So that's going to be awesome to be able to play with.
Well, this is it. Something else to think about as well. Like as this hobby gets more and more and more and more and more popular, right? And I know that there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of companies that are going to create alternative terrain kind of solutions and stuff like that, right? That like, there's going to be some really innovative shit come out in the next few years, right?
Have you heard of the Laser Cut Architect? You know, there's people like him, like, and they're really good. They do like MDF terrain, and they do just really cool, unique designs. I know that like James from March of War does really cool stuff. If you haven't checked those, both of those guys out, you should, because if you're interested in terrain, that's fairly quick to get on the table. You know, you've got loads of good stuff there. So yeah, it's a wild kind of thing at the minute, because you do need good terrain to play this game properly.
Like, it's the most unglamorous thing ever. It's just the most unglamorous thing ever, right? It's just, there's no like passion for people unless people are really into it.
But yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be spending much time painting terrain unless I had to. I'm going to have to paint some for the barn, obviously. But like, you know, I'd rather be painting armies, you know, most of the time. So I get where people are coming from, and so I can see what you're saying about sales being low, because it's another cost, right? You're already spending a load of money on your army, your codex, you know, all that shit. So why do you want to buy a load of bloody terrain that you have to take months to paint?
And transport it to wherever you want to take it.
That's also another thing. And that's why I think that like being able to flat pack stuff is so good, because being able to like store it easier, because terrain is, it takes up a lot of space, you know? Especially some of the bulkier shit. You know, it's just big, bulky, it's those massive gothic ruins. Where are you putting all of that, you know? Massive.
No, true. Very true. But, you know, as you say, it's the thing that can make or break a game. So it's one of the most thing that we don't prioritize anywhere near as what we should do, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all good.
It's interesting. It's a cool subject, I think, terrain. I think that there are, as you said, like more and more people innovating on terrain, sort of, you know, actual producing terrain to make it flat packable and to just make it easier to store and to use. And people like with Plato, who's 3D printed me this terrain, he's 3D printed it in multiple colors. So I don't even need to paint
it.
Like it's sort of like a marble effect through it and different.
Oh, shit.
So it's crazy. Cool. Yeah. So like,
see, that's a good point. With 3D printers on the rise, that's going to be mad. That's going to be proper mad.
So thanks to him. Shout out to Plato, my boy.
Oh yeah, dude. There's one piece of terrain actually that I am really after, which has gone out of print for a little bit of time now, which is the Sisters of Battle Sanctum, which is like, cool.
Yeah.
Which is like the statue.
It comes up
of
on
Saint
eBay
Celestine.
Every now and then. I've seen
so expensive. I really want one, but it's so expensive.
I also like those big cannons. Statue. Do you know the ones I mean? They're those.
Yeah.
They're like these massive fuck off plasma cannons. They look really cool as well. There's some great bits.
That Dark Angels like massive monastery. Place that looks really cool.
A lot of those aren't very practical. Like they don't really add much to the game, but they do add a lot in terms of character, you know.
Yeah. So, and if you were running like a narrative game and you were like, right, we need to hold this location at all costs, like that's so cool. You just have some beer hammer with mates. So diversity there with terrain from all the way from like the most sweaty of competitive environments to the most beer hammery environments ever. But like, what do you all think about terrain? Like, is it the necessary evil of the hobby? And like, do you own much? Because I certainly don't.
I'm interested
need to, get
to see
more.
What people say, like how much terrain they actually have, and if it's fucking painted. Because that's the other thing. Because a lot of people, I bet, have just grey terrain knocking about.
Like MDF, like bare wood.
Yeah, exactly. The MDF one's easy to paint. At least you can just spray it with an airbrush, grey.
Yeah. Great, dry
a lot of people do, so they just print out like little posters. All you do is just print
I've
out,
seen those.
And they just like wet them or PVA glue them onto the side. That's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Imperium needs you.
So you need your face like wanted, like practitioner of the four-armed emperor.
The Star Children need you.
Yeah. Just pure propaganda. There you go, see.
Just four thumbs up.
So, the next topic is a bit of a random one, because in the UK, there was this really trashy show in, like, the mid to early 2000s called Snog, Marry, Avoid, for anybody that was aware of this show. And it basically involved this hideous concept of, like, getting someone that either looked quite ulty or quite, like, heavily made up, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then to like ask people in the general public whether they would snog, marry, or avoid them.
Yeah.
And I thought about this concept being quite clever for this, where it's like Imperium, Xenos, or Chaos, snog, marry, or avoid as like a blanket super faction concept.
Yeah.
So, Ed, Imperium, Xenos, Chaos, snog, marry, or avoid.
The alternative is fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah, fuck, marry, kill. Fuck, marry, kill.
So, I think, obviously, being a Xenos boy, I'd have to marry Xenos.
I knew this was coming. The next one, though, is curious.
The four-armed emperor is, as we've spoken about.
You. But also, you're a Necron lad as well.
I am a Necron lad as well. And there's other factions that I do like, the Xenos. So I do think Xenos speaks to me in a way that other armies, other super factions don't.
Why? Just out of curiosity, why?
I just like, I think... I do like
being
the Imperium.
The other?
Don't get me wrong. I do like the Imperium. I just think that they're a bit vanilla sometimes, if I'm honest. Like it's again what we discussed previously. That, you know, it's like playing a human in World of Warcraft. It's a little bit like role playing yourself. And I feel like if we're going to play a damn fantasy sci-fi sort of futuristic game, then I want to play something cool. I want to be, you know, big space monsters or like dum dum orcs and like smash and bonk. You know, I want to do fun things.
Smash
or I want to be,
and bonk.
Yeah. I want to do, you know, I want to be like grumpy undead robots and just cool stuff. You know? So I think that's why it speaks to me. They've got a lot of character, the Xenos races.
Yeah, I will give you that.
And they're quite
very
misunderstood,
distinct.
I think, as well. Because obviously everyone looks at them through that lens of the Imperium, through the lens of man. And they're like, fucking Xenos, burn them. But like actually when you start to look at through their eyes and start to try and understand it from their perspective, you can see the galaxy in a very different way. Which I like. So I definitely marry them. Everyone who knows me as well knows that I've always had my dalliances with Chaos, so I'd probably give them a little snog. Just because
a little like tear away snog,
a cheeky bit of tongue, you know,
and then come back and then have another tongue,
bit of side action.
Side action, to be fair, we need hobbyists like you because you represent the thing that the hobby desperately needs, which is like everyone's mate that plays Xenos, right?
Yeah,
Because you can't have a bunch of Imperial players. Or that's fucking boring.
It is. If you're all playing Space Marines and you're all just like, you know, gangbanging each other with Space Marines, it's fucking boring.
You might as well be playing fucking Horus Heresy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like, you might as well. You need a good uprising in your life.
We need I'll come in there. Slut yourself.
And you'll be like, what's going on this battlefield? There's no one here. So, and then the little drain will open and I'll be peeping out of it. And I'll be like, this plan has been generations in the making.
The balloons float down here.
We all float down here.
Oh, that's so creepy. That's going to fuck me up, actually. Your
so,
voice
yeah, and obviously,
really good for that.
Imperium, I would have to avoid.
Oh, that's so controversial.
I do
so
like some Imperium stuff. Don't get me wrong. I love Space Marines. I love Astartes in terms of like the animation. We've just had the trailer for the Astartes 2. Have you watched that yet?
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
I'm sure you have. So, like, that looked amazing.
I
can't wait.
Yogurt.
Yeah, someone in the Discord was like, why do you guys keep saying you're dropping your yogurt? I don't understand. So you'll have to figure that out.
Dropped
Google
and
it.
Slopped.
Yeah,
but yes,
Google it.
So hold on. In terms of, just rewind this just a little bit. So in terms of you snogging Chaos a bit,
yeah.
what are your favourite elements of Chaos that made you want to snog them?
Well, like, I think the fact that Death Guard were literally my first army. They're always going to have a special place in my heart, and I will get that damn army built and painted. It's built mostly, but I'll get it painted.
I'm going to get mine built before yours, which
you
is
will,
funny.
100%, yeah. But I will get it on the table at some point, because I just love the Death Guard. I love their aesthetic. Yeah, I think they're cool. So cool. Like, they're just, they do it for me. I just love the idea of these just disgusting, bloated monstrosities of flesh trudging across the battlefield in this miasma of haze of flies and, you know, just like, tum, 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 and like they're withering fire, just like bouncing off of them, guts spilling out all over the place. They don't give a fuck. They're like, they're completely inured to pain. And that does it for me. I think that's such a cool aesthetic for an army. And that's why I'd probably give Chaos a little cheeky, you know, bit of time.
Slurp.
Yeah.
And poor Imperium left out in the cold.
Yeah.
Is there not any saving grace for you?
No, there is. Imperium? I think, you know, obviously I'm looking at doing my Admech army. I do think
Admech are really
cool.
Wow. That's a weird Imperial choice though, isn't it?
It is. Like, it's because I'm such a snowflake. I love snowflake armies. As I've said many times before, if I need to come to the table with some kind of advantage, and due to my general state of mental deterioration, I think that having an army that nobody knows how to fucking play against is just great, because I can turn up at the table and I'm like, you ever played
that
before?
As you said before, like someone's behind you, like giving you a good run, and you're like, this is part of the rules, is it? Like,
I'm like, definitely. You see the appendices? Here, that's I fuck you. B, I win the game. C, you don't know what that is. And D is not a gotcha, because I did tell you.
I don't know.
The issue with snowflake armies is that you forget most of your rules just as much as your opponent does.
This is interesting, because when I think of you as a hobbyist and a 40k player, the one faction that I could never, ever, ever imagine you play in 1,000 years, where I think it would be like putting like false teeth in a shark, is you playing Space Marines.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine you ever doing it and having fun with it, where you're there with like your Imperial Fist or like Crimson Fist. And I know that you love the Crimson Fist,
right?
But like and to be honest, you may get it. I imagine with the Battle Barn and stuff, in the same way that you may need a studio space.
Well, we've already got one, luckily. Paul's lending his to the studio.
Oh, yeah, but you never know. If it gets to a point where you're
I'll probably do a Death Watch army down the line, because I like those that kind of style, but yes.
But in terms of watching you set up a Space Marine army, I could never... I can't imagine you internally going like, I'm in my happy place.
It doesn't work the same.
It's just not you. It's just so not you.
I love. Do you know what I love is when I'm deploying, and you know, like on the UKTC terrain, you've got that sort of gap in the middle where, often on maps, you've got this sort of big L in the middle, but your sort of deployment zone only comes like halfway into it, and you can't put anything right in the corner where you want to block it out. But when I play my GSC, because like loads of my shit infiltrates, I can just pack that ruin out, and I'm like, I've got a big 10-man block of gene stealers with the Patriot right in that corner.
You're such a sneaky bitch. Advance like, I can imagine
charge,
you're loving
8-inch move.
Because you know you're in there. You're in your own tank, and you're like 8 moves ahead going like, I've got some tricks.
It's great. So,
or self-satisfied.
So what about you?
See, now this, I'm actually finding harder than I thought. Oh. Right? This is where this becomes actually quite interesting. The one thing I am going to say right off the bat, and I think it's easier for me to say this bit, the avoid. Yes, I'm going to start with. I know exactly where I'm at here. Avoid Xenos. Yep. Fuck them. Fuck you, weird, freaky aliens. No. There's only one Xenos faction that I even like, and I love Tau, but like, I hate all the other Xenos races.
So xenophobic, Russ.
I don't care. Fuck you. I do what I want.
What do we do to deserve such ire? Such reckless hate?
I'm going to say one word, Eldari.
Yeah, fuck them.
Anything related to Eldari, like elves fuck are elves. Not my thing. Elves are just not my thing.
Vicaria are cool.
No, fuck them. Just they're the polar opposite playstyle to me in every single way. Fragile and fast is not where I'm at.
I love fragile and fast.
I know you do. I know you do. But
hit
like,
and run, baby.
But
all
I'm
day.
I just want to take that hit. I want to take it. And like
you
like,
want to be smashing like, through, like boom,
smash your face. Like I don't like subtlety, right? And like I'm just not into it. And just they're poncy and just so arrogant and like. Yeah, I just can't deal with it. Tyranids, Geseducults, Orcs, even a bit, like Mushroom Boys, not into it. Mm. So, like, aliens just aren't my jam unless they have vaginal heads. It's just the way that it is. So, unless they have pussy heads, I'm just not interested.
Yeah, I forgot about the Tau. Everyone always.
Yeah, I love the Tau. I think the Tau are cool. Weird. They're the only Xenos faction that I like, weirdly. Yeah. So, avoid, burn. Get the fuck away from me, you freaky, weird fuck, like Xenos, like go away.
All right, you made your point. Stop your hurting me now.
This is, exactly. Now, this is where I struggle. And if I could ball it out and go, if I had a polyamorous marriage or if I was a polygamist, I would marry both of these because they're kind of equal in my brain, especially this year of all years. But if I had to trust my heart and go with what I, with my true loyalty. Loyalty is its own reward,
and I have to
go with the Imperium. Marry
such a little pussy.
I know. I can't help it.
Oh,
I can't help
Daddy
it.
Emperor,
I'm like,
so I have the, to.
There he is. He's there. He's watching me. Always
he's
watching
up above
me.
You, yeah.
I love the Imperium. I fucking love the Imperium. I would probably marry the Imperium. Yes, they are humans. Yeah. Yes, and they are your. But they are so far away from. Humans as we know them in any other setting of and the Imperium encompasses so much. It encompasses so much from like your basic bitch soldier faction to mythical space knights to golden boy enhanced mega warriors to nuns with guns and freaking Martians. It's like the Imperium is humanity, but the Imperium is so far from what we know as humanity in any other setting that for me it's so diverse and unites the crazy fundamental weirdness that is the Imperium in all of its glory. And the fact that it's an evil faction, like however you spin it, they're a kind of a villainous faction. And I kind of love that. I kind of love that, like, humans are scumbags, even in the 41st millennium, and I love it. And I love the irony.
It's good to be bad, baby.
I love how ironically British they are. Yeah. And like they don't feel American to me. Like the Imperium does not feel American at all to me, right?
Are
they
any of the Space Marine Legions canonically American?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't think
But it always makes my arsehole cringe, right? And, like, suck right up into me, right? When I see... And I'm so sorry, American listeners. I don't have any beef against you per se, right? But when you get a Space Marine army or a Custodes army that are all stars and stripes, and you see it. You see it happen, right? Where they paint them all stars and stripesy, and I die. A little part of me dies inside, right? Where I'm like, oh, you just sweet summer child. You don't understand. Like, you just don't understand this fucking saying, do you? And I'm just, it makes me die inside when I see that shit.
Not grim dark enough, right? I love a bit of misery in this game. I think that's why the English love it so much. We're just miserable fucks.
And it's also so self-degrading, right? Mm. And so, like... like, you know, like, we're not the good guys. We're cunty. We're like, we're imperialistic. We're like, you know, colonial and stuff, right? It's horrible. Like, the shit that the Imperium does is fucking
bad
horrible.
Stuff, yeah.
And it's like, that's not like, okay, it's not that. It's not that. So, like, I don't know. It just pains my soul. But I would be in the dark hut behind the bike shed giving Chaos a good old fumble and a big old snog, right? Because, oh, I love Chaos.
Big blow job, little roll around.
little root.
Yeah.
I fucking love Chaos. And I'm starting to really understand why Chaos are cool.
Yeah.
Like, this year...
They have more fun, I think.
Chaos. I've allowed myself to go, and I do apologise, balls deep into Chaos in every respect where, you know, I'm getting my heretical Astartes, lol, Dark Angels, lol, jokes sorted for the first half of the year. And then I'm just like, oh, bathe me in chaotic goodness, where I'm just going...
It's going to be the reward.
Death Guard, World Eaters... Sorry, World Eaters? Word Bearers. Second Ed Chaos.
Yeah.
What the fuck? If I imagined I'd be doing that, I had no idea I'd be doing that. That's fucking completely aside. Well, I'm fully going into it, and I'm just like... Oh, the 8-point star, take me. Like, and I'm just, in terms of like a villainous faction, you cannot be more villainous and more cool and more tempted by the
I know they are very tempting.
And I love that. I love that they are so tempting.
It's interesting to see this because, like, you and I have literally just had the opposite exact thing. So you obviously avoided Xenos. I've married them. We both snogged Chaos, giving them a cheeky snog, and then I avoided the Imperium, and you married
them. But
that
was painful for me. That was like was like my old high school sweetheart versus the new hotness that moved in across the street. Right? That's a bit kinky and a bit. Do you know what I mean? You're like, rather than where your heart truly belongs, right? But like, I'm tempted, man. Like, that was a hard decision for me. Yeah. And I never thought that would be the case. When I came back to the hobby, I was a fervent son of the lion.
You were never
going
to snog Xenos ever, were you?
No, oh, fuck that. No, no, no. I'm all right. Thank you very much. But like, but yeah, now I'm all about the Chaos life. So who knows? If you come back to me in a year, maybe if I win an event with Word Bearers or something, I'll be like, ah, take me where it's power.
I mean, you won't win it if my GC dealer cults are there, but you might be able to come second.
Oh, well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that, little man. But like, but please let us know. Can you write in the comments below, snog for Mario, avoid your choices and your choices for why? I would love to know. I would fucking love to know.
Tell us why. Tell us why.
And if you want to watch some horrendously terrible TV from the early 2000s, just YouTube the show because it's fucking awful. It's terrible. It's terrible, terrible, terrible show. But there we go. So, wet band one controversial subject into another. With Phoenix writing it now. Did you ever play the Phoenix Wright games for the old game?
Is that the one with...
Objection!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've not played them, but I know
they're brilliant. We're entering the courtroom, ladies and gentlemen, and non-binaries, and in the defense of the Space Wolves, because this has been brewing on the channel for a while, like the furry jokes aside, and the, oh, we should play Space Wolves.
We should play Space Wolves.
The defense of the Space Wolves, and basically we're going to do a court-ordered defense of them. I'm going to be prosecutor.
Yep.
Ed's going to be defense. And I'm going to bring some case studies to the table of why Space Wolves are fucking lame and why no one should ever play them.
Try me.
So the first
I know subject... that we just need to say that get this out of the way before we start, is that this is all Russ just...
No,
just,
fuck him.
He's trying to, you know, resist...
Poke the beehive.
No, he's trying to sort of like, you know, make a point that he really hates Space Wolves just so that he can kind of convince himself so that he doesn't accidentally slip into them. Because... he's got the name, you know. He said Aru one time on podcast. It's put in our Discord if you don't believe me.
Not true.
There's a lot of evidence that points towards him actually being secretly a Space Wolf player. No, I wouldn't be surprised if I raided his house to find a Space Wolves army secreted away somewhere. So
there you go, see.
This is what this is really about.
And I have to say, if you are a Space Wolf player, I'm sorry that you play Space Wolves. And
you're wrong. Let's get take it to the fucking courtroom, Russ. Come on.
Yeah. I'm not wearing the t-shirt, so neither are you. The Three Wolf Moon t-shirt.
I need to get you one of those.
So, first point of call why the Space Wolves are lame. Plot armor.
Yep.
And I will bring up the following lore topics, which are actually probably worth discussing. The War and Battle of the Fang, where the Thousand Suns should have absolutely obliterated the Space Wolves, where Magnus had a personal one-on-one with Bjorn the Fell-Handed, and Bjorn survived. What the fuck?
Yeah, but Bjorn's a beast.
Bjorn's a beast. He's a bear. He was rounded at the horse. It's a fucking Primarch.
Yes,
it's
but,
Magnus.
You know, it's Bjorn. The Fell-Handed.
Is Ebenezer good? No, fuck him. No, seriously. Fuck off, dude. It's a fucking Primarch. A demonically powered
Magnus
Primarch.
Magnus is a giant pussy and everybody knows it. So
fuck off. Like, why do they have such plot armor all the time? And the worst one was the Months of Shame, right?
Right.
Do you know anything about the Months of Shame?
Is that when you actually started collecting Space Wolves?
Fuck off. Can you be serious for 2 seconds, right? The Months of Shame, because I want to detail what happened in the Months of Shame if you have no idea. God, I just want to just bite you.
Reach out through the internet
the
and strangle you.
Stereotypical fucking bullshittery. So, in all seriousness, what do you know about the Months of Shame?
I don't know much. Tell me about them. Teach me.
Okay. Essentially, it doesn't exactly put the Grey Knights in the best spot here either.
Okay.
But what I will say, and one thing to take in mind as I explain this, if this would have happened with any other Space Marine chapter apart from the Space Wolves, would they still be a chapter at the end of this? This is all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. So the Months of Shame begin with the first War of Armageddon, right? Where where Armageddon's been a focal point for crazy fuck-upery for ages, right? Where an unprecedented amount of World Eaters and Khorne Demons, including Angron himself, basically nuked Armageddon.
Yeah.
And the Steel Legion, alongside a very prominent appearance of the Grey Knights, basically fought off the World Eaters and the Khorne Demons.
Yeah.
And basically resulted in a fucking insane fight where the Space Wolves, Grey Knights, and Steel Legion managed to fend off this overwhelming amount of demons. And what naturally happens, Ed, when humans come in contact with not only demons but Grey Knights? What does the Inquisition do, Ed?
They tend to turn up and fucking kill everybody, generally.
They do indeed. And that's exactly what happened, basically. Inquisitor Lord by the name of Kyranos basically was like, we need to exterminate the surviving humans, basically, that fought alongside us. And essentially, Logan Grimnar said no. And the Inquisitor were like, excuse me, what do you mean?
Sorry?
No, what do you mean? No. And when essentially the humans were being ferried to be like, you know, they called it vaccinations, but in actual fact, they were being sterilized.
Fuck. That's so dark.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. The Space Wolves secretly ferried loads of humans off Armageddon.
Yeah.
And the Inquisitors were like, what the fuck are you doing? And they were in space and basically they were going to shoot the refugee ships, right? Yeah. And the Space Wolves just went in front and were just like, do it. And the Inquisitors were like, what the fuck are you doing? And they did start shooting. They did actually start shooting at these refugees. Loads of refugee ships escaped Armageddon, and Kyranos is like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like, we need to get the Grey Knights in to, like, track these fuckers down. Mm-hmm. Because they were also worried that not only do these humans have knowledge of demons and also Grey Knights, but they could also be warp corrupted as well. And be spreading their warp corruption to loads of systems and stuff. And it basically got to the point where Kyranos was getting more and more and more stressed about this, and he was a bit of a weird Inquisitor Lord anyway. Like, he didn't really have a retinue. He was a bit weird. People think that he was actually Zeench in disguise, which is kind of funny, or like a Zeench agent. But he was starting to get more and more desperate and more pissed off with the wolves, and the tension between the Space Wolves and the Grey Knights were getting to the point where things were getting a bit nasty. Mm-hmm. And it was getting to the point where the Grey Knights slash Inquisition were exterminating other planets that had been in very brief contact with the refugees of Armageddon.
That seems so they were destroying,
exactly. They were destroying spaceships, they were destroying worlds and stuff like that. And it basically got to the point where things had got completely out of control.
Yeah.
And Kairos was like, right, I'm going to try and basically capture Logan and stuff. And was basically like, right, we're going to have a parlay. Like, come and have a chat.
Yep.
And during the parlay, the Inquisition ships fired on the Space Wolf ships and destroyed like two or three Space Wolf ships.
Shit.
And Logan Grimnar just basically killed the Grandmaster of the Grey Knights in one swing. Just like fucking ended him, just like axed him in the chest. And then whilst the Grey Knights were trying to keep him there, just gunned down like the retinue of Grey Knights surrounding Kairos and stuff and fucked off and were basically like, yeah, you're in for it, Inquisition? Like, fuck you, Inquisition.
I'm kind of into this.
Which basically made Kairos snap and annex Fenris. Basically took all of the Audio Malleus to Fenris and basically, like, around Fenris. Had a chat with Bjorn that was kind of like, what are you doing? Like, get off my planet. Don't be hasty. And then Logan Grimnar then appeared out of nowhere, transported on Kairos' ships and executed him.
What?
As you do. And basically left this weird relationship between the Inquisition and the Grey Knights where they were both like, oh, we've both done stuff wrong. And can you imagine that happening with any other Space Marine chapter and that Space Marine chapter still being able to exist?
Yes, the Dark Angels. Next point.
Any other Space Marine chapter apart from the Dark Angels and the... Look, that's not how that would have happened, right?
Look, yeah, you keep
if
digging.
If that would have happened to the Dark Angels,
cornered, boys.
The Inquisitor Lord would have disappeared mysteriously.
Yeah.
But not this brazen in public, like, fuck you. Lads.
Look, to be honest with you, it sounds like the Inquisition were being dickheads. They were overreacting as usual. Look, it seems like the Space Wolves were looking after humanity. They were trying to do the right thing. The Grey Knights got in the way, were tussling, being in a place they shouldn't be. And it sounds like, to be honest with you, the Inquisition just overstepped and the bloody Space Wolves put them in their place.
Spoiler alert, that's what the fucking Inquisition does.
Yeah.
That's what the Inquisition has always done.
Yep.
And that's what the Inquisition should do in order to prevent shit like that from happening, right? Sure. You do as you're told. They are the ultimate authority in the Imperium. Mm. You do as you're fucking told. End of story.
Or you...
End of story.
No. Or
and also you... Yeah, go on.
No, you just fuck them over and ignore them because they're
fuck
a bunch
off.
Of twats.
Also, this bullshittery about like killing Grey Knights like they were nothing. They're fucking Grey Knights?
Yeah.
They're op as fuck. They should be
quite,
like mega strong.
And,
like,
you said Logan... he killed the Grandmaster. He was this
Grandmaster?
Yeah,
just chopped him up. At the time, the Grandmaster was a guy called Joros.
Joros.
It was
sounds
Grandmaster
like a
of the Grey Knight. And just literally, Logan took that corn axe. He has that fucking gimpy corn axe that he has. And just like,
took it.
Just chested him.
Nice.
Fuck off. Like,
I don't know.
Extreme plot armor of the absolute extreme in
so many
ways.
It does seem like an interesting storyline.
That's fan fiction, that is.
Is it actually fan fiction?
No, it's not, but it should be.
It should
like,
be.
That is right. That to me feels
say,
like
just wasted
Space
10
Wolf.
Of my life.
No. That feels like Space Wolf fan fiction to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit out there. I won't lie to you, but I there was probably a lot more sort of reasons that we were not seeing behind the scenes for what happened and the disagreements that went on.
Fuck off.
Next.
It's just the Space Wolves getting all bolshy and like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, but they are the best
authoritarian. Fuck off. So there we go. So point one to the jury, plot armor, in particular, the Months of Shame.
Yeah.
Plot two, why are the Wolfen so fucking goofy?
Look, I think that
Okay, so let me just finish my point, right?
Yeah.
Blood Angels, Black Rage, horrifying, scary, very weird, like kind of horrific. And you're like, I'm not going to fuck with you, dude. Like, you carry on. Space Wolves, the Carnial Helix or whatever fucking furry bullshittery going on there. Mm-hmm. what I imagine that to be, crazy, monstrosity, warpy, fucking gnarly looking werewolfy. What we actually get, hairy space wolves.
Look, I think that model was a product of its time. Okay. I don't think it's necessarily a bad looking model. Goofy. I think it is goofy. I don't think their backpacks help. Goofy. I don't think that their poses particularly help. I do think that they could have done them better. Okay. I won't lie to you. They definitely could have done them better. Facially as well.
I'll take this.
I do think the Wolfen as a concept. I do think that we should control yourself. I do think the Wolfen as a concept are very cool. And I do think they're not as cool as Black Rage, sure. You know, I think that obviously that is very different. And I do love the idea of the Black Rage, you know, overtaking you. And you're like, damn it, Horus, we must kill him. Come on, Horus. You know,
that's cool. That is cool.
Like, you know, I do think that the Wolfen are cool because, you know, you've got this whole, it is literally just lycanthropy at the end of the day, basically. It's like, you know, the lycanthropes to the vampirism of the Blood Angels.
Look,
right?
Man, I actually love a fucking werewolf. Werewolves are my favorite gothic horror
thing. How do you make
a
werewolf look cool while still wearing space marine armor?
Oh, you can make it happen, dude! Yeah. Like
you definitely
barely
could, right?
Chunks of armor hanging on them, like barely anything hanging there, like a fucking shoulder pad, like a fucking cracked helmet, right? Like fucking all gnarly and like scarred.
I'm going to come back to this because I have a feeling you're going to ask me some more questions regarding the model range. So you keep going, but I think that they were a product of their time.
Can I at least have this one?
You can have this one. They do look gangly and goofy and silly. I will
goofy
admit
fucks.
It.
Fucks.
But I do think with a modernized sculpt that they could be done in a much
darker way. If you make them look terrifying, if you make them almost chaotic.
I also think their poses need to be a bit more aggressive and a bit more like terrifying and violent, if I'm honest.
But it's because they're the good
more
guys.
Feral.
The cool
they need
ones.
To be more
they're
feral.
The cool ones.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, point 3 of 4. Space Vikings versus space furries.
Yeah, this is what I was waiting for.
You knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Wolfy wolf riders, McWolfy, wolf chariot, wolf, 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 like I've got a wolf, pet wolf, psi wolf, cyber wolves, wolves of Fenrises. Oh, yeah. Do you like wolves? Is that your thing? Wolves? Is that it? Is it? Not Vikings, what you should probably be like during 30K. Yeah. No, you like wolves. Do you like them? Fuck.
Okay.
Oh.
So I do think they went a bit hard on the wolf aesthetic. Right,
I love this. I love just.
I do agree with you on that point. I think that a lot of their old model range, like you said, they're either riding wolves, they are actual wolves, they're wolf men, they've got wolf pelts, they've got wolf charms, they've got wolf weapons, they've got wolf claws. It is a bit wolfy.
Got wolf familiars,
and they all look a bit wolfy.
A wolf fucking chariot, bro.
The wolf chariot is dumb. It's also awesome, like in a way.
That's not awesome.
It's kind of cool, but also equally dumb.
If they would have just had Liam and Russ just be the one with two pet wolves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get it. He grew up with wolves, weirdly, like whatever, like fine, like it's all cool, right? But to then have that across the entire and wolf riders, man.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'd love to see if we do obviously get the Primarch coming back, I'd love to see like a sculpt where he has just sort of stood like pointing his sword or something or like his weapon forwards and he's got one wolf like sat by his side with his hand on the top of its head and the other one just like leaping forward.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, that's like, cool. And that's unique cool to him. That's like kind of unique to him. But the fact that it's across the entire range.
Rush would look awesome.
And as you say, if it was just a bunch of space Vikings with wolf pelts.
Yeah. I do think no issue with that. So
like,
I have
no
a personal
issue.
Theory, right? So we've obviously seen the 30K stuff. I know that there was that little hiccup where they did those actual wolf head helms and everyone went fucking mental.
They were so lame.
Yeah,
they were so fucking lame,
right?
They were snooty. They were actual snooty.
Games Workshop were like, no one saw it, and they like got rid of those really quickly and remade them.
Yeah, if that's any validation to how I feel about this topic, that was it. Where like GW were like, exterminatus. Yeah, yeah. Like, no,
that was a mistake, sorry. That was just my fanfic. prediction. But yeah, so like obviously that was a little hiccup. But if you look at the 30k range, a lot of them are more Viking in their aesthetic.
I
love
it. I totally get that.
And I have a personal theory. Like Valorak's been spouting on about the Wolves a lot lately and how they're going to be coming back and they're going to have a big model refresh range, range refresh and all that sort of stuff, right? I think that that's going to be the case. And I do think they're going to lean more into that 30k Viking aesthetic. I think there's going to be less Wolves. And I think the Wolves that are there are going to be done better, less goofy looking and like modernized sculpts. And I think they're just going to be really, really savage looking, really Viking.
What, for 2026, do you reckon?
Yeah, probably something like that. But I do think that we're going to see that. And I think when we do, a lot of people are suddenly going to come around and go, fuck me, Space Wolves are cool. Because they're going to remove all that sort of like, you know, goofiness. Three Wolf Moon t-shirt kind of like Aru.
But I don't know if they can.
Furry kind of No, they can,
been,
easily.
No, hold on, let me finish, right? That line has been, and I know that they obviously kill lines all the time, but like that's been such an identity of the Space Wolves now for so long. That's going to kill a Space Wolves collector's
collection. No, it's not, because you can still have Thunder Wolves. There's nothing wrong. I think Thunderwolf Cavalry are cool, but they just need to be better.
Mate.
They need to be more dynamic and more modernized. And I think with that, they could be absolutely fine. I don't think
Space Marine riding a wolf, bro.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's fucking cool. It's part of the lore. Like it's, you know, it's like blood, it's like those blood crushers. You know, it's the same style of thing. I think a bit of cavalry, so it's wicked. Those things are like
cavalry.
Those things are fucking rhinoceros size. You do realize they are absolute units. They're like the scariest wolves.
But it's just lame. It's just fucking lame.
I think had you actually put some really cool, like as we said, Viking aesthetic looking dudes on top of those and made the poses a bit more dynamic, they could be really cool models. I don't know.
Even if you were to blanch that shit right up, I still think that's going to look goofy.
But I do think they're going to go a bit more Viking with that range refresh. Okay. I think we're going to see some really cool. Actually, I think 2026 we're going to see some really cool Terminators. Generally, I think we're going to see new assault Terminators. I feel like we're going to see blood. What are they called? Wolf Terminators. Are they Wolf Guard? Whatever they're
called.
Wolf Guard Terminators. I feel like we're going to see.
Wolf.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to see the Blood Angels Terminators. I can't remember what they're called.
Oh, yeah. No, they're just normal Terminators.
But they had like a kind of a kit because they had those red ones that you could get through the Space Marine Heroes, and they're quite Blood Angels-y. But no, I do think we're going to start to see some new wolf, some wolf sculpts.
I don't disagree.
Some Terminator stuff.
As it currently stands,
they are a little bit.
Can I have the
a little
point?
Bit wolfy. Yeah, you can have that point. Yeah. They are.
Hey, look at this. I'm winning now.
But I do think in the future you will lose that point because I think they're going to come back strong with a new aesthetic.
Man, if we get to a point in the future where me as anti-Space Wolf / Raven Guard like goes, okay, fair enough, they look great. Yeah. And I love the idea, by the way, of Russ coming back and having that pose that you set. Like, that's fucking
cool.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. I'll give you that. But like,
and a raven on his shoulder as well. Like,
oh, yeah, that's
and the other one like flying on a tactical rock.
As it currently stands, fuck that range. Terrible range. Subjective one, terrible colour scheme.
I disagree. I actually really like their colour scheme.
Oh, gross. Yellow with pale blue.
No, that's cool. No, I disagree.
Awful.
I think you're colour scheme.
I'm awful.
No, I actually don't
30K,
disagree.
30K, no, that sort of harsh... 30k, right, with that harsher grey, that darker grey, and the red.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. That yellow contrasting with that sort of pale blue, I look at a Army of Space Wolves and I'm like, oh, that's garish.
I do think...
That is that fucking garish.
If you paint it correctly in the grimdark enough fashion, and not in the clean fashion that most people like to copy these days, I think that they look very cool. And I think that like that rugged sort of pop of colour, it looks nice in a way.
Oh, you're going to use snow bases there, are you?
No.
Oh, yeah, I thought so.
I like
fucking
a Mars
snow
base,
bases.
You know, I love a bit
of
rust.
With Space Wolves, it's like, oh, I see what you've done there, using snow on your base. Oh, great.
Snow.
Original.
Yeah.
No, fuck that scheme. Horrible scheme.
I quite like it.
Okay, it's very subjective.
It's
but
subjective,
like,
it's art, right?
I find it a horrible mashup of mustard yellow, sort of periwinkle blue, and leather brown, shit brown. And I'm just like, oh, God, no. Like, fuck off. Like, no.
I think if it's done right, it can look great.
Give me a creamy night any day. Like, fuck off with that shit.
You
terrible.
Love creamy nights.
And then finally, the point that I have to lean on, and this will be contested, but quite frankly, I don't give a fuck, but the most overrated Primark of all time.
Wait.
Fuck off, Lehman Russ.
Now you've gone too far.
Fuck. No, I'm a lion boiler. There's a watcher on my shoulder. He's whispering to me. I'm sorry, but what a lame lad.
I've got a Space Wolf colour on today.
You do. I am not a fan of Lehman Russ, I think.
Why? What's your reasoning? Come on. Out with it.
Incompetent arrogance,
right,
is my reasoning. The whole shtick of Lehman Russ is that he is the emperor's executioner. And as far as we know, in terms of evidence, he has executed no Primarchs compared to other Primarchs that have executed other Primarchs. If you compare his kill tally
to... He had a go at Horus.
Had a go, yeah. Pinned him to the wall and then pussied out.
Don't hurt my brothers.
And then he pussied out at the last minute. And that's his whole shtick. Yeah. That's his whole shtick. Is like, and then kind of back broke the fucking nerdy one. Come the fuck on. Compared to Thulgrim,
yeah,
who like had two kill counters, one of which was a fucking gnarly Primarch, and one of which was Gilliman, so whatever, you know, whatever. Dude, like, no. Overrated, arrogant. I'm glad he's part of the setting because he's a nice foil for other better Primarchs, but, like, just no.
I think it's a really interesting one because I do have a feeling that Games Workshop is very aware of this reputation. And I think looking at the lore and looking at him as a Primarch and looking at the Legion as it stands model-wise and just generally the way it's been perceived over the last 20 years, I do think that Games Workshop is aware that there needs to be a change. And I think that they know that this army needs to mature with its audience. And I think that what we're going to see, as I said with the range refresh, I do think we are going to see a bit of a change in Russ as well. I think he's going to come back all the wiser, having basically made this spiritual journey and having sort of... You said it really well. What was it? That the lion is
Yeah, this is my favorite.
You say this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I like this. So yeah, so the lion, the relationship the lion and the wolf is a complicated one, but essentially, like, the lion is a beast behind the veil of a man, and Lehman Russ is a man behind the veil of a beast, right?
And I think that basically is going to be what we're going to see. I think we're going to see the lion as a character start to get more and more aggressive and almost becoming that headsman that Russ never really was. And I think we're going to start to see the opposite with Russ, where he's going to start to become more of like a level-headed, almost sort of, you know, Zen kind of being who's going to be very calm and collected and controlled. And he's going to start to be a very strategic sort of important asset to the Imperium. And I think that we're going to see the Space Wolves Legion adapt and change in a way to do with that. And I think, obviously, they're always going to have that bestial nature. And I do think that that's there. And I think that that will stay. But I think it's almost going to be about controlling your temper and sort of knowing when to let that beast out. And I think that's what we're going to see, is we're going to see an army. And I imagine it'll follow it with the play pattern. We're going to see an army here that's going to be quite tactical and quite controlled, but then have these moments of pure fucking violence where they can just unleash.
You kind of see that with the evolution of your standard Space Wolf anyway, providing they don't go down the Helix Wolfen route, right?
Sure.
Which is like when they become new recruits, they kind of age backwards to a regular tactical Marine where they start out as Blood Claws, right? Where they're like, actually, they start out as close combat specialists, right? Then they become the Grey Hunters, which are the more tactical guys, but have a bit of punchy. And then they eventually end up as a Long Fang, which is a Devastator Marine, which is right at the back, who are the veterans going,
And I think that's what we're going to see mirrored
and
with
that's
the faction.
Cool.
And I think
that's cool.
We're going to see that journey mirrored with Russ as well. And I think he, you know, I'm really interested. I've said this before. I'm really interested to see where they go with his lore. And I'm really intrigued to see when they bring him back, at what pivotal moment they're going to bring him back, and how they're going to do it. I'm really excited because Space Wolves is an army that, if I was going to get into Marines, it's one of the ones I would actually be tempted by. And I know that you're like, oh, Eddie, play Marines. Like, yeah, sure. But I do kind of like that sort of like feral hit and run kind of, you know, tactical, and then whoomph, you know, coming out the shadows. Yeah. And I could see it. So I'm really intrigued as to where they're going to go with it. But I do feel like we are going to see that maturing of the faction. And I feel like the model range will reflect it.
Because mechanically, they kind of, for me, share a very similar space to the Blood Angels in a very strange way, because they kind of mirror each other, where they both have varying degrees of smashy, fast units, right? Where they're just like, right? The one thing that I'd like about the Space Wolves mechanically, which is unique, is the concept of the heroic individual, where you have souped-up characters, dreadnoughts as well, massive identity... identifying factor of this.
Can you not wait to see their version of the Brutalis, right?
Well, this is it. Modern... Like, where they have to... If they are going to range refresh...
They will do that.
Well, yeah, fine. They need to have not only signature dreadnoughts, but very distinct signature dreadnoughts, where you know, they might have the same sashy as fucking as the Redemptor, but with all crazy elements to it.
Yeah, 100%.
And that, to me, the one thing that I do actually associate with the Space Wolves more than any other chapter is Dreadnoughts.
Yeah, agreed.
Right, so
they've got some really cool ones. They've obviously got, like, Murderfang. They've got Bjorn the Fell-Handed. And they've also got their shield and axe. And actually, they're quite Viking, those Dreadnoughts. If you look at them, they've got, like, a lot of, like, bones and...
That's the one thing about the Space Wolf line that I actually like, is their Dreadnoughts are really fucking cool. And they should be.
Yeah, they should.
If it's the concept of the elder, old heroes of the Imperium that are, like, the old Vikings that are, like, still going and still, like, pushing through, it's got to be a Dreadnought, right? And
it's cool. I'm really excited. I'm genuinely, like, that is something that could tempt me into Space Marines, genuinely.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
Well, then we would have to do a classic lion versus wolf then, lad. And that's just the way it's always going to be. And I will always be a Dark Angels boy because
I know you are.
I bleed Dark Angels. But what do you guys think? Was that a fair... Because I think I did score some points there.
You did, yeah.
It wasn't just me being a ranty bastard. Like, I do think there are subjectivity there.
I think you've got some really
valid
points. I agree.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, there is a lot to be desired with the current Space Wolf range and lore and... And I do think that a lot of people are clamoring to see that refresh of the range and that moving forwards of the lore. I think it'll be really cool if they get it right. If they get it wrong and it's more wanky wolves, sorry, I'm not going to get into it. But if it's the Space Vikings that we all want, then I'm squids in, definitely.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And if I've offended you and you are a Space Wolf player, fuck, bring it on.
Sorry.
Sorry, loyalty is its own reward, and I have a far superior chapter that I enjoy, so suck my dick. But there we go. So, fuck you, Space Wolves. But please let us know what you think. I love you, Space Wolves players, really, because I love to rag on you, and you're the easiest match ever to fight against on the table.
Wow, so, okay.
There we go.
If anybody wants to call Russ out for a fight to the death with their Space Wolves and beat the shit out of him,
I have a really good track record against Space Wolves. I have a really high track record. I don't think... I've only lost once, I think, against Space Wolves. Anyway, sorry, I feel like a proper arsehole Dark Angel now.
You are a proper arsehole Dark Angel. You're like, cut me and I bleed Dark Angels. A little bit of chaos, just a tiny bit.
Well, yeah, as we discovered, I'm apparently snogging them behind the behind the thing. I'm just like, the watch is watching me with intent.
He's like,
But please let us know what you think, and I don't mean to offend, really. Like, it's
yeah, let us know what you think about Space Wolves. Like, do you agree with me in that we're hopefully going to see that sort of maturing range refresh and interesting new stuff going forwards for them? Or do you think that they're just going to remain Three Wolf Moon?
Three Wolf Moon forever. But thank you very much, my fabulous co-host, Eddie. You are a legend as always.
Thank you,
and
Russ.
Obviously, legendary. Thank you. And obviously go and check out the Peachy episode if you haven't already, because it's awesome, quite frankly. And let us know your Q&A questions.
Yeah, please do. Bang them down below in the comments.
But we probably will do a Q&A. And thank you all for taking this marvellous ride with us. It's the best. Love doing it.
Love you all. See you next week. Cheers, guys.